Well, Helen and Christine Irwin have come to read the scriptures, first from Isaiah 52, Mark chapter 1, Acts chapter 17.
Isaiah 52. How wonderful it is to see a messenger coming across the mountains, bringing good news, the news of peace. He announces victory and says to Zion, "Your God is king." Those who guard the city are shouting together for joy. They can see with their own eyes the return of the Lord to Zion. Mark chapter 1. After John had been put in prison, Jesus went to Galilee and preached the good news from God. "The right time has come," he said, "and the kingdom of God is near. Turn away from your sins and believe in the good news."
The New Testament reading comes from Acts chapter 17, verses 10 to 15. As soon as night came, the believers sent Paul and Silas to Berea. When they arrived, they went to the synagogue. The people there were more open-minded than the people in Thessalonica. They listened to the message with great eagerness, and every day they studied the scriptures to see if what Paul said was really true. Many of them believed, and many Greek women of high social standing and many Greek men also believed. But when the Jews in Thessalonica heard that Paul had preached the word of God in Berea also, they came there and started exciting and stirring up the mob. At once the believers sent Paul away to the coast, but both Silas and Timothy stayed in Berea. The men who were taking Paul went with him as far as Athens and then returned to Berea with instructions from Paul that Silas and Timothy should join him as soon as possible. This is the word of the Lord.
So let's pray. And Father God, our prayer this morning is that you will open our eyes that we may see wondrous truth out of your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, no doubt, as many of you here can testify, preachers can sometimes be incredibly boring. I love the definition of a sermon. A sermon, it has been said, is a monstrous monologue by a moron to mutes. But preachers can not only be boring, they can also be remarkably ineffective. One American research project discovered that immediately following the worship service, fewer than one-third of the congregation could give a reasonably clear statement of what the sermon was all about. At this point, I feel like giving up. But what else would take the place of the sermon if preachers were to give up? How else would the gospel be communicated? I love discussion groups. But at the end of the day, discussion groups can never take the place of preaching. Why? Because ultimately the gospel is not about views. It's about news. It's about what God has done for us in Jesus. And as far as the Bible is concerned, preachers are heralds of God. Heralds who proclaim the great acts of God in Jesus Christ. The fact is, there has to be a place for one-way communication. There are times when things aren't up for grabs in terms of discussion. One thing for certain, churches that are growing today are churches which take preaching and teaching seriously. So with these thoughts in mind, let's look at the occasion when the gospel came to Berea, a town today known as Veria. Veria today is a town in northern Greece, but it's not a place that you would make an effort to visit. And the same was true of ancient Berea. A regional center for one of the districts of the province of Macedonia, it wasn't as significant as Philippi, let alone as significant as Thessalonica, Athens, or Corinth. Cicero, the great Roman orator, spoke of it being off the beaten track. Berea was actually a second-rate town, situated on a second-rate road some 50 miles southwest of Thessalonica. And yet today it is famous for one thing. And it's famous for this. It is a place where Paul preached. And they're so proud of it that I'm told that there in the center of Veria is a statue of the Apostle Paul preaching. This morning I want to look at Paul's visit to Berea. And we'll discover that not only Paul was a model preacher, but the congregation at Berea was a model congregation. So my first main point is this, that Paul preached God's word. Verse 13, Luke tells us that when Paul came to Berea, he preached the word of God. Now, in one sense, there was nothing new about Paul preaching the gospel. Preaching was his passion. Preaching was his life. Preaching was his God-given calling. As he wrote to the church at Corinth, I have no right to boast just because I preach the gospel. After all, I'm under orders to do so. And how terrible it would be for me if I did not preach the gospel. Or in the old-fashioned words of the Authorized Version, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. Paul just had to do so. But Paul wasn't into preaching for preaching's sake. Paul preached because he longed to see men and women respond to his preaching. And it was this desire to see men and women won for Christ that caused him to travel so widely. As he wrote to the church at Rome, my ambition has always been to proclaim the good news in places where Christ has not been heard of. Someone once asked me, is it okay for a Christian to be ambitious? I believe that there are occasions when it's right to be ambitious. I believe it's right for us to be ambitious as a church, ambitious to see men and women won for Jesus. And it was in that context that Paul came to Berea. There Paul preached the word of God. Another version speaks of there Paul proclaimed the word of God. Paul didn't simply talk about Jesus. He was a man with a message. According to my Greek dictionary, the underlying Greek word which Luke uses here has, and I quote, the thought of solemn proclamation. Yes, as we saw last week, Paul's visit to the city of Thessalonica, he was happy to engage in dialogue. But he was more than a discussion group leader. He was a preacher. As he put it when writing to the church at Corinth, he was an ambassador for Christ. He had a message to proclaim. He preached, says Luke, the word of God. As the context makes clear, he preached the word of God from the scriptures. Now, we sometimes speak, do we not, of the scriptures as being the word of God, or at least the word of God in written form. The scriptures aren't literally, of course, the word of God, in the sense that God did not directly dictate his word to a prophet, to an evangelist, or an apostle. Rather, God spoke his word through men and women. And the scriptures are a record of God speaking that word to men and women. They reflect the personalities of those through whom God spoke. So sometimes we speak of there being a double authorship of Scripture. Scripture is both human and divine, just as Jesus, the living Word, was both human and divine. Paul preached the Word of God, and in doing so, he preached God's Word from the Scriptures. Of course, in those days, the Scriptures were the Old Testament Scriptures. Paul came to Berea around 36 AD. At that stage, none of his so-called epistles had been written. And as for the Gospels, the earliest Gospel was not written down until AD 65. The teaching of Jesus at that stage was still being handed down by word of mouth. And so too were the stories of his life, death, and resurrection. So when it came to preaching about Jesus from the scriptures, Paul will have used the Old Testament, and as we saw last Sunday, he will perhaps have focused on such passages as Isaiah 53, which speaks of the death of Jesus, Psalm 16, which speaks of the resurrection of Jesus. Our situation today is very different. We have, thank God, not just the Old Testament. We have the Gospels and the letters, the Acts, the Book of Revelation. And yet, for all the differences, I still remain challenged by the statement that Paul preached the Word of God. And if I were addressing a congregation of would-be ministers, I would be reminding them that their calling is to preach the Word of God too. As a Christian minister, I have many roles. But my key task is that of preaching. The preaching of the Word of God, I believe, must be at the very heart of church life. Indeed, in the words of John Calvin, wherever we see the Word of God purely preached and heard, there a church of God exists, even if it swarms with many faults. Well, I'm not talking to a congregation of would-be ministers. I'm talking to a congregation of ordinary punters. So let me come to my second point, which is perhaps more relevant. That is that the Bereans studied God's word. Let me read to you verse 11. The people there were more open-minded than the people in Thessalonica. They listened to the message with great eagerness, and every day they studied the scriptures to see if what Paul said was really true. What a wonderful congregation that must have been. Luke tells us that the Bereans were more open-minded. Another version says that they were more receptive than the people in Thessalonica. Literally, they were more noble-minded. And the Greek word here comes from a word which indicates noble birth. And the implication is that well-brought-up people are prepared to put aside their prejudices and listen to what the speaker has to say. I'm not convinced that's the case. But at any rate, they were more open-minded. And also, we're told, they received Paul's message with great eagerness, with enthusiasm. Well, I know on a hot day it's difficult to be eager and enthusiastic, isn't it? But come on, folks, let's be like the Bereans. Amen, hallelujah. My mind goes to the occasion when Cornelius asked Peter to come and preach to his friends. And he said, now we are all here in the presence of God, waiting to hear anything that the Lord has instructed you to say. And that congregation was so excited, so receptive, so eager, that Peter hadn't finished his sermon before the Spirit came down in power. They knew how to listen to the Word of God, and so too did the Bereans. But they were more than good listeners. We discover that they followed up Paul's preaching by actually studying the scriptures for themselves. Indeed, Luke tells us, and I quote, that every day they studied the scriptures to see if what Paul said was really true. I'm amazed at this. They didn't simply come together on a Sunday. They didn't simply come together in a midweek group. But every day they studied the scriptures. They really were keen. Now, different translations use different synonyms for describing this study. The Authorized Version says that they searched the scriptures daily. And you can imagine them perhaps going through an Old Testament scroll with a fine-tooth comb, hunting high and low for references to Jesus. Other translations say that they examined the scriptures daily. The underlying Greek word was used of judicial investigations. So it's been said that this study implied integrity and lack of bias. In the words of a famous 18th century German Lutheran scholar, Johann Bengel, a characteristic of the true religion is that it suffers itself to be examined into and its claims to be so decided upon. Well, again, our situation is very different from today. We don't have to hunt down references to Jesus in the scriptures. After all, we've got the New Testament as well as the Old. Nor, for that matter, do we have to come together to do this. I mean, in those days, they had to come together to study the scriptures. Why? Because there were very few copies of the Old Testament scriptures available. And we're so fortunate, are we not, in all having a Bible of their own. And yet again, in spite of all the differences, I find there's a challenge here. And the challenge is this. How eager are we to read the scriptures? The Bereans challenge us to read the scriptures, not just occasionally, but daily. And I believe that's a good challenge. Reading the Bible on a daily basis makes a difference to our lives. It gives direction. It gives encouragement. Help of all kinds. It's been said the Bible contains the vitamins for a healthy soul. Someone else once said, dusty Bibles make for dirty lives. Yes, we all have our Bibles. And yet I read just the week before last that only one in seven British Christians read a Bible between one Sunday and another. One in seven. Six out of seven don't touch a Bible. Brothers and sisters, if you're not reading the Bible regularly, I believe that you're depriving yourselves of the opportunity of hearing God speak into your life. But don't just read the Bible, study it. Let me encourage you to use Bible reading notes. You know, I discovered this morning that I've got 11 past copies of Bible reading notes. If you're not into using Bible reading notes and you'd like to have a sample copy, why don't you come to me after the sermon, after the service rather? The first 11 people get a copy. And I shall be very disappointed if at the end of the service I still have 11 copies. That really will show that preaching is ineffective. So Paul preached the word of God. The Bereans studied the word of God. And the third point is some welcomed while others resisted God's word. Yes, as usual, there was a mixed response to the word of God. On the positive side, there were some who welcomed God's word, indeed more than some. Luke writes, verse 12, many believed. Notice the implication is that they believed not as a result of emotional pressure being put upon them, but rather as a result of the use of their intellectual faculties as they studied. And Luke goes on, and many Greek women of high social standing and many Greek men also believed. One commentator asks, is Luke bragging about Paul's success in attracting influential people to the faith? Or is he marveling that the Spirit is able to convert even people of high standing? Although, as Paul makes clear in 1 Corinthians, the majority of his converts were from the lower classes. Nonetheless, right from the beginning, the Christian church attracted people right across the social spectrum. And it was important that that happened, because otherwise the Christian church would have had nowhere to meet. The church in Rome, the church at Ephesus, the church at Corinth, met in the homes of wealthier members because there was no place otherwise to meet. So some receive God's word, but sadly not all. We are told that there were those who resisted God's word. Verse 13, when the Jews in Thessalonica heard that Paul had preached the word of God in Berea also, they came there and started exciting and stirring up the mob. Yes, the Jews who had opposed Paul and his preaching in Thessalonica came down to Berea. I think it's important to realize that these Jews were not necessarily bad people. They were primarily misguided people. It's been sad. The tragedy is that undoubtedly they thought that they were doing God's work by seeking to silence Paul. It can be a terrible thing when a man identifies his aims with the will of God instead of submitting his ways to that will. How true that is. People can be zealous in their commitment to God, but their zeal can be sometimes misplaced. Indeed, in Romans 10, Paul said this of his fellow Jews, "How I pray to God for them. I can assure you that though they are deeply devoted to God, their devotion is not based on true knowledge." A reminder that people, even Christian people, can be sincere, but could also be sincerely wrong. Well, to return to Berea, some believed and accepted God's word. By God's grace, may we never be amongst those who resist God's word, but rather may we be those who receive it with the greatest of enthusiasm. And so, let's be a model congregation. Let's pray. Yes, Father, our concern at the end of the day is not what happened in Berea, but what happens here in Chelmsford. Lord, help us, each one of us, to be people who are truly dedicated to hearing your word, to responding to your word, to living lives out of your word. Lord, may we be enthusiasts. Enthusiasts who root their lives in your word and in the teachings of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.